U.S. military officials said today that soldiers from the 4th Infantry Division have captured more than 30 Iraqi prisoners in a battle north of Baghdad. Hundreds of other prisoners have been released since the war began because it turned out they were not soldiers or paramilitary fighters. But U.S. forces are still holding nearly 7,000 Iraqi POWs. NPR's Scott Horsley reports on their status.
Wherever they're captured on the battlefield, most Iraqi prisoners wind up in a camp surrounded by sand berms in Iraq's southern desert. The POW camp was initially run by British forces. Lieutenant Simon Hill, who was assigned there, says incoming prisoners are searched and registered, then given showers and, if necessary, medical treatment. The prisoners are housed in what guards call cages. They're actually 15-man tents, all surrounded by razor wire.
They're pretty well looked after. I think it's important to bear in mind that these guys are soldiers, just as I am, and we have no ambition to hold them any longer than we absolutely have to.
Inspectors from the International Committee of the Red Cross interview the prisoners and help them send messages to their families. Spokeswoman Amanda Williamson says it's against ICRC policy to discuss conditions in the camp, but she says Red Cross inspectors were given access quickly.
We've been able to tour the camps. We've been able to speak to the prisoners privately. We have enjoyed very good cooperation with the coalition forces so far.
The job of the ICRC and the troops guarding POWs is made easier by the relatively low number of prisoners, about 7,000 compared to the 50,000 military planners expected and nearly 87,000 in the first Gulf War. Lieutenant Hill says even among the 7,000, not all are really fighters.
We fully admit that there are people that have been just caught up in the process. They are just businessmen, farmers, that have no part in this war, and they just want to get back to their normal life as quickly as possible.
Hundreds of those innocent civilians have already been released. As in previous conflicts, when a prisoner's status is in doubt, a military tribunal is held. Former Navy Judge Advocate Matthew Frieda says serving on such tribunals can be awkward for U.S. and British troops, a bit like police officers suddenly called to act as judges.
These individuals can be combat soldiers who were just recently engaged in combat themselves, supposedly acting neutral and detached and making a decision based upon evidence presented.
With that evidence, POWs are divided into several groups: the harmless civilians, who are released immediately, ordinary soldiers and Republican Guard troops, who are held for future release, and suspected war criminals, who may face additional punishment. There are reports that some of the POWs have been fighting among themselves. Lieutenant Hill says camp operators try to keep them separated.
There's a deep sort of hatred often between the regular army and the Republican Guard, and likewise between the militia as well. So we have to segregate them. It's for their safety as well. As soon as they become enemy prisoners of war, we have a duty of care and a responsibility to them.
How long that duty will last is not clear. According to the ICRC's Williamson, ordinary POWs are supposed to be released at the end of active hostilities. She admits, in a war like this, that's a somewhat ambiguous deadline.
There are a number of ways that this can be defined, either through a formal peace agreement or simply a declaration on behalf of one party to the conflict, particularly obviously the party that is victorious.
With sporadic fighting still going on in Iraq, Lieutenant Hill says no one's ready to declare victory yet or an end to active hostilities.
Certainly General Frank summed it up, and I think also your Secretary of State for Defense, Mr. Rumsfeld, summed it up when he said this war is not over, and the war isn't over until General Frank says so.
Until then, thousands of Iraqi prisoners will remain in limbo, watched over from guard towers and surrounded by sand berms and razor wire. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.